This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Hey, everyone. I want to take a moment to talk about gratitude. In our fast-paced lives, we often forget to appreciate the people around us. And sometimes we even forget to appreciate ourselves. So today, let's pause and give thanks not only to others, but also to ourselves for the hard work we put in every day. It's so important to recognize that doing our best, especially in challenging times, is an accomplishment. Now, if you ever thought about starting therapy, or if you're looking for a new perspective, consider giving BetterHelp a try. Therapy offers tools to build resilience, set boundaries, and grow into the best version of yourself. And with BetterHelp, everything is designed to be convenient and flexible, fully online to fit right into your schedule. Let the gratitude flow with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/playbook today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/playbook.
David Meltzer, what's going on?
You know, it's always great to be here at the greatest stadium ever built. And now I have all the best people in the best place. And it just makes my day to have you here. So thanks for having me.
Well, thank you so much for having me. And what a smart idea to have a media day. You just get people coming through SoFi Stadium to knock out a whole bunch of content. And you're helping people out. You're helping younger creators who are getting things going. And I really admire you for doing that.
Well, I appreciate it. Yeah, we hold court a lot around the country where I do free meetups. I hold court where I do this at a hotel, for example. And I bring in all the young entrepreneurs, investors, and I use media as a bug light because a lot of people want to do content with me or the people that I know. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing what happens when you bring a bunch of great people together. And I've been doing this for years, so it's amazing what outcomes have already occurred from these media days.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's you know, we're gonna jump right into it. We could chat and chat. I usually do a longer format, but
most people do.
Yeah, no, but I like this because it's something new, and I think we're gonna knock out some good stuff in an efficient amount of time. So one thing that sticks out to me about your story is your intersection between tech and sports. My background is in tech, mostly cybersecurity and software, and I have a podcast, Nickels and Dime Show, which is focused on entrepreneurship in the world of sports, health, wellness, and fitness.
Nice.
So yeah, it's kind of a cool overlap there. And you turned up as like the perfect guy to be on my podcast.
It's funny you say that because a lot of people wonder how I got the job running the most notable sports agency in the world. And they think somehow that I went to law school to be a sports agent, that I worked in sports for years and years and years. And then by evolving the skills, knowledge, and desire in the business of sports agentry, that Lee Steinberg picked and chose me for one of the most highly competitive positions in the world,
right,
which was CEO of Lee Steinberg Sports Entertainment. But what really occurred is I developed my technology skill, my business acumen, but also my skills in venture capital. Mm-hmm. And so although I have a law degree, although I have worked as a customer in sports, in sponsorship, endorsements, speaking engagements, appearances, but the reason Lee Steinberg hired me, beyond my normal business acumen, which people have better, beyond my law degree, which people have better, was he couldn't find someone at the highest level that had worked in technology and venture.
Mm.
And so it's actually, ironically, as you sit here in technology and sports, that it was the technology background and the venture capital background that I had that attracted Lee to hire me as the CEO of the most notable sports agency in the world.
That is interesting. Do you think it was because of the transition in the world to become more technology focused and then the sports agency was trying to make that move?
Yeah, so Lee had told me later on that he, early on, one of the first as a maverick in sports agentry, saw the importance of two things in the future of sports, which have held true now here so many years later. Mm-hmm. One, technology, and two, venture capital. And if you look at where people really make the most money in sports, it's in technology of sports and venture capital.
Right. So you kind of jumped into the CEO role, right, when you were at Samsung.
Lateral move, correct.
Yeah, and because you had a good first gig in tech where you call yourself an entrepreneur. I'm a huge fan of that word. And I
highly suggest it for people, especially young people.
Yeah, absolutely, because you do get sort of some founder experience, even if you're not a founder, but you work so closely with one or a CEO.
And you get equity and you get health benefits. There's so many things that entrepreneurs that don't know what it's like to be an entrepreneur don't realize.
Yeah.
They're always the grass is greener on the other side until you stop working for your big company with your big salary, your equity, and your healthcare.
Yeah. It's so true. How did you pitch yourself to be a CEO out of not having done that before?
Well, it was having confidence where I shouldn't have confidence. I always say that practice, articulating the quantitative value of what you're asking for to exceed what you're asking for. So throughout the years, I learned how to ask, which is a great skill set because most people don't have that.
All right.
But I also learned how to articulate my ask in value to exceed what I was asking for. So the mathematical equation in my head was not only do you have to have, excuse the language, the cojones to ask, which is really not cojones. To me, it's wisdom and faith is all that's required to ask.
Yep.
But more importantly, from sports, I got this. I needed to practice the ask so that I was articulating more value than I was asking for. And so I called that the 120 rule, where if I was going to ask you for $20, I was going to be able to articulate within the context of my ask $100 of value, because no rational person, if I said, hey, bro, let me trade you $100 for 20, would say no. Right? And so that's what got me my first CEO and continue job and continues to get me everything I desire in life, is that I actually do the work to articulate the quantitative value to exceed what I'm asking for.
I mean, it sounds like it's just the master sales skill.
It is. And it really is. And I teach people within the context of perceived value, bottom line, timing and risk tolerance, how to thrive, how to create a community of people that are buying from you and selling for you for life. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't necessarily mean product, service, solutions. It could be your personal brand, or it could be other relationships or other objectives in your life. So I do not just simply qualify with under the context of selling a product, service, or solution. There's so much more that you can do with this context and framework.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so just going back to what we were just talking about, CEO versus founder, you made that transition when you founded Sports One Marketing, right? So you had been CEO multiple times and then you became a founder. What would you describe as the biggest growing pains or differences you experienced personally when you founded the company?
Two things: employees and overhead.
They mean employees, something. It always comes
employees
up.
Employees and overhead mean completely different things when you're a CEO. Mm-hmm. Compared to when you're the founder.
Yeah.
And there's a huge difference. And I joke around, but halfway serious. If I don't like somebody, the biggest way that I can curse them is to compliment them. And what I mean by that is if I meet someone that I don't like, I was like, man, I wish you all the success in the world. I hope you have thousands of employees and millions of square feet of office or warehouse. Because I have just cursed him with the curse of the founder.
Oh, man. That's good. That's pretty.
And they thank me for it. Oh, dude, thank you so much. Anything I can do to help you, man.
Amazing. That's clever.
Thank you.
Okay, I want to transition into sports a little bit.
Good.
One thing.
A good place to do it, right?
Yeah, I know.
We've got the Chargers in the logo, not the Rams. That's good.
Yeah, which is it. Yeah, it's funny. I grew up a huge Chargers fan. I'm a San Diego guy.
Oh, I like you already. So am I. Patrick Henry High.
It did kind of switch when they came up here, unfortunately, but
yeah,
you know, still deep in the heart, right? I had a good talk with Sean Merriman a few weeks ago.
Lights out.
Yep. Oh, yeah. So one thing you said that was interesting about being a sports agent, or at least the evolution of it, is that they had a more focus on being a lawyer back in the day. And it transitioned into becoming more of a business person. And you were kind of the perfect intersection of that with your law background and then your business experience. How do you describe how this has changed from, say, 20 years ago to today?
Yeah, we're coming full circle. So sports agentry didn't exist till Lee Steinberg coined the frame as a super agent. Mm-hmm. And then the Jerry Maguire movie came out based on Lee. And then agentry became a really popular thing to be. Mm-hmm. But originally, you were just a sports lawyer. And what you really were a labor lawyer.
Yeah.
Right? Understanding collective bargaining, contracts, negotiation, employment contracts. That's all you were. And we moved towards these sports agents being salespeople, sponsorship, endorsement, NIL, venture, all the different, the sports agents do financial advisors. Yeah. There's so many different things, which now in the world of specialty, that most great sports agencies hire sports lawyers to simply do the contracts and be a sports lawyer. So we're coming full circle that there's going to be more of a need just to be a labor lawyer, to deal with the cap, the collective bargaining, and the contracts. And the majority of the revenue, though, will be generated from the business acumen, marketing, sales, digital marketing, business development, venture, technology, a variety of different things, not just for professional athletes, obviously, but the wild, wild world of NIL,
right,
and college and amateur sports.
Yeah, which is a whole nother conversation. But it basically, the way you answer that, it sounds like it's just the evolution of how much more marketable these athletes have become with all the different opportunities to promote a personal brand with social media or the internet or what have you, right?
Yeah, I mean, look at Caleb. He came in wanting ownership in the team.
Yeah. Wow.
Right? That's ridiculous. Yeah. And so, but there's also other nuances that you never had before. You know, you take The Rock, who's one of the first that I knew, that said, you know what? You can give me a $100 million endorsement deal, but I'd rather have stock in Under Armour, knowing that if I am endorsing Under Armour, the stock's going to double in price. And if you give me $100,000 of stock, I'm going to $100 million in stock, I may end up with $500 million. Because of my influence on the stock.
Yeah.
And so there's so many variances and distinguishments in technology, venture, and sports, business, entrepreneurship, and sports. Remember, sports is very similar to what you see behind me here, and it's almost analogous to my life. Sports has always been the backdrop of everything else that I wanted to do. Because it's I call it a bug light.
Yeah.
It attracts everything I want better with that backdrop. In fact, the irony of it is that Jerry Maguire, which was based off of Lee Steinberg, which I was the CEO of Lee Steinberg, Sports Entertainment, people will tell me it's my favorite sports film. And I'll say it's not a sports film. I'm like, what are you talking about? I go, it's a love story. That's why it's so popular. Great writing, by the way.
Yeah.
Great lines. But it's really a love story in the backdrop of sports. This is a business mindset podcast.
Yeah.
But it's really super cool because it's in the backdrop of SoFi Stadium and sports.
Exactly. Wow. Well said. That's a cool parallel. Yeah, that's a good one.
As the weather starts to cool down, I'm really excited about everything this season brings. New opportunities, fresh goals, and yes, even the wardrobe change. I love the feeling of shifting gears as fall kicks in, whether it's in business or life. So as we all make the transition, I hope you're as excited as I am to embrace the season with a new perspective and maybe a few wardrobe upgrades from Quince. Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices, along with premium fabrics and finishes. And they partner with them directly, cutting out the cost of the middleman and passing the savings on to you. I recently picked up their Mongolian cashmere crew neck sweater and an incredible performance chino pants, and they've quickly become go-to staples for me as someone who's constantly traveling for speaking engagements or business meetings. I need clothes that not only look great, but also feel amazing. And these pieces absolutely deliver. Upgrade your wardrobe with pieces made to last with Quince. Go to quince.com/playbook for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's Quince, quince.com/playbook to get free shipping and a 365-day returns. quince.com/playbook.
Whether you're a first-time wine drinker or a wine aficionado, Justin has a wine for every celebration and occasion. Since 1981, Justin has been producing world-class Perdot-style wines from Paso Robles on California's Central Coast. The Justin team believes that the wines should be exceptional from every angle, which is why their team uses boutique winemaking practices like hand harvesting and hand sorting. With a rich history of accolades, Justin produces exceptional wines and is proud to be America's number one luxury Cabernet. Enjoy exceptional wines all season long with Justin. Whether it's for seasonal celebrations, festive dinner parties, or gift exchanges, Justin Wine is sure to make your holidays memorable. Pick up Justin Wine today at a store near you. Visit justinwine.com and enter Playbook 20 for 20% off your order. Justin offers the perfect holiday gifts for clients, colleagues, friends, or family. Be sure to check them out at justinwine.com to receive 20% off your order for a limited time.
When you look at all the athletes you've worked with, is there one that sticks out to you as someone who's been the most impactful in your growth, in your learnings? It doesn't have to be your favorite, but someone who is really impactful.
Obviously Warren Moon, because he's my business partner, best friend. But beyond that, because that's such an intimate, obvious relationship, it was Dr. J.
Wow.
And then Tony Gwynn. And I'll tell you why. Dr. J, though, and this is probably my most popular video telling this story. But when I was 12 years old, I dreamed of being a ball boy with the San Diego Clippers. They practiced at the San Diego Jewish Academy, Jewish Center on 54th and El Cajon.
Wow.
And my mom's best friend's husband was the head of sports for the Jewish Center. And the Clippers practice at the Jewish Center. So I asked him almost every day, being the asking kid, I want to be a ball boy. I want to be a ball boy. And he came through, and Mike Szymanski, the trainer of the Clippers, gave me a job as a ball boy. Mm. My very first game was the Lakers Clippers, and I'm in the visitors' locker room, and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who's extremely intense, I screwed something up. It was my first day, and he screamed at me and called me boy. And I went home crying to my mom saying, I want to quit. My mom says, we don't quit anything. Yeah. We start until the end of the season.
How old were you?
Stick it out, 12. Okay. I was told actually by, they just ran it in the NBA news. I was 14. They date checked me. I remember being 12, but I must have been 14 because I know you had to be over 13.
Uh-huh.
So I was 14. Anyway, here's what's so cool. A week later, I'm forced to go and the Sixers are in town working on, and I'm gun shy because I think all superstars are assholes.
Oh, man.
And there's Dr. J beelining it towards me, holding some socks. And he puts his hand on my back, which was the size of my back. and I'm shaking, almost pissing my pants, right? And he said, son, in the calmest, nicest voice, son, do you know why they gave me so many pairs of socks? And I was like, no, they told me to give you six pairs. He goes, oh, how many feet do I have? And I said, two. He said, oh. He goes, do you have any brothers or sisters? I said, yeah, five. What are their names? And he signed each pair. And then he says, grab that basketball. I grabbed it. He signed it. He said, I'm going to save this for you. And he put it in his locker. Wow. He said, I want you to take it after the game. Now, Dr. J and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, when I was 14, had no idea the influence that I would have in sports and sports media. Mm-hmm. The most common question still today that I am asked about sports is, who's the coolest, most impactful sports person you've ever met? They didn't know that.
Yeah.
It's not Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, is it? Dr. J, he represents exactly what I teach people, which is be kind to your future self. He didn't know what influence and impact I would have someday. He was just being kind to his future self by doing good deeds, by being kind. And Tony Gwynn and Dr. J were those guys in my life. Tony Gwynn, from the time I was 12 at the San Diego School of Baseball with Alan Trammell, gave me time, attention, and intention. When I worked with Major League Baseball, gave me time, attention, and intention. Mm-hmm. Became a friend. I helped him with his own bankruptcy, with his own brand, and helped build him, and was always kind. When I was 12 years old and he left, he had a Betamax machine looking at pitches in the San Diego School of Baseball, and he would take a break and come and help me with my swing.
Yeah.
He has no idea that we'd be doing this video and I'd be telling millions of people that Dr. J and Tony Gwynn had the most impact of any athlete that I've been with.
That's huge. Huge. And Tony Gwynn was my favorite player as a child as well. So that's awesome.
I got his bat, by the way. Yeah. Number 11, my lucky number of 394 when Tony Gwynn batted 394.
Oh, man, that's incredible. Wow. Okay, so I have a couple of signature questions I end the show with.
I got signature answers.
We know you do. We know you do. One is, if you could pick an entrepreneurial life hack that goes against the mainstream belief that you could share, what would you pick?
Ask for help.
Okay.
I think most entrepreneurs don't think humility is in asking for help.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, I seek the wisdom and the faith, and I illustrate that by finding other people who already have the answers, already sit in the situation, and I ask them for help. If I had learned that humility when I was young, I wouldn't have lost over $100 million, went bankrupt. All I simply had to do is find someone that sits in that situation, and then also, of course, be in that situation as well. My prayer every morning is, may God put at least 10 people in front of me that I can help, and at least 10 people that can help me.
Wow. Amazing. Well, I hope I can be both.
You are. Thank you
Thank
for being
you.
Here.
Yeah. And the last one is just in the interest of Jeff Fenster's relationship capital preach that he does. It's
which he learned from me, by the way.
I bet
that
he
term,
did. Yeah.
I taught him that term. Look, my mission is to empower others. My wife gets upset from all the repetitious parroting that Jeff Fenster gives. And so I got to give you props, brother. I just thought you would be more original than actually to repeat the exact terms that I have. But fair enough. My mission is to empower others. If you can't think of something with your own wording, use mine to help other people. So yes, relationship capital has been very important to me.
Amazing. Well, on that note, is there one person you would recommend from your network that I should have on my show?
That you should have on your show? Let me just be fair. I have 10 recommendations.
Okay.
So, you know, some of the best people for me to interview that may or may not know in sports, is that good for you? Like
yeah.
Michael Chandler, have you had Michael?
In the entertainment, incredible.
James Maslow is another one. Marshall Faulk, have you had your San Diego guy?
Yeah.
Have you had Marshall?
No, but I'm
part of mine.
He's on the list.
Good.
Yeah.
Drew Brees, Fenster can help you with. Mm-hmm. CJ McCollum. Monique Billings. These are all great ones. I got many more. Dr. J.
Amazing.
You know, I can't recommend Tony Gwynn, unfortunately.
I know.
Alicia you could have, or Tony Gwynn Jr.
Yeah.
Dave Roberts, Dodgers coach.
Oh, yeah.
He's a great interview as well, local here. So I'm trying to think of guys that are local. You know, like I said, I got 1,950 episodes of The Playbook. So feel free. I'm here to be of service, to look down my list and say, Dave, can you make an introduction? There's some entrepreneurs here, Marshall Jones, Dr. Sean Dill, Joe Wallace, professional basketball player. He's here. John Garcia, huge venture capitalist. So there's guys in our backyard, Bucky O'Neill and Leah Notariani.
Okay.
They're great interviews as well. So hang out at Dave Meltzer Media Day.
Yeah.
I promise you, you will make a lot of money, help a lot of people, and have a lot of fun. Thanks for joining me.
That's amazing. Thanks so much, David.
You got it, Chris.